give to the Lord glory and strength. It's again, it's a thing of praise. I give to the Lord glory of his name. But then, in Exodus 16, verse 6 to 10, and you only see verse 10 up there, it says this. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, at the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. And then in verse 10 it jumps and says, and as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold. Behold, meaning, and look, and see. And behold, the glory of God appeared in the cloud. Was nothing to wonder about. It was nothing to kind of guess, I wonder what that is. No. It was something clear of, look, see, it's the glory of God. Who of you want to have that experience? I do. I want to do that. I want to be able to look and see and behold the glory of God. The glory of God is physical. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, when we look at things, even though that much more, we could say we have every reason to believe and know that today, as we stand here, we are far more richer and able and have access to God than what anyone has had in the whole of the Old Testament. So if there was a time and a place where they could see the glory of God, as in like, look, behold, the glory of God appearing in that cloud, so much more today, there's something for us in this, that we need to partake of, that we need to behold, that we need to have part of the way that we live. Exodus 24, verse 15 to 18. This is beautiful. It says this. Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. So you look at this sea of people that's at the foot of this mountain living. I can't remember how many, I think it was 40 million, Dave, Rulof, how many Israelites were there? 40 million? 42 million? 2 million? 2 million? 2 million people around this mountain. And this mountain is covered by a cloud, and the glory of the Lord settles on this mountain. It's like a devouring fire. And there's not one person that questions whether this is real or not. They're going, it is there. Man. There's something of that for me that I'm going, God, I want to see that. I know I'm going to be scared when I see that, but I want to see that. And then in verse 18, Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Moses eventually built a fence around the mountain, because God said, no one can come or no one can touch my, like, even the mountain. Like, it is holy. My glory is something that's set apart. It's holy. And so he built this massive thing for the people that they can't have access to God. And then a little bit later on, like literally a few verses on, we see God speaking to Moses. And he's saying to Moses, Moses, but now the time is coming where I've shown the people how holy I am and how big my glory is. But now actually, now I want to come, and I don't just want to be there on the mountain, the devouring fire, but actually I want to be the glory within and dwell with my people. And this is this morning where I want to kind of kick us off to. Is God wanted to dwell with his people. Up to that point, people did not have access to God as we know today. There was no place where they could worship God. And in that moment, God is saying, no, I want to bring a place for you where I can dwell with you. And in Exodus 25 to 40, the chapter, we see three things that God does and that he explains. And I want to give you those three things. We see the contributions. God gives an indication about the contributions that he gives for the tabernacle to be built. We see instructions on how it needs to be built and who needs to build it. And then there's the actual building of the tabernacle. And we see that happening from chapter 25 to 40. And I want to read us a part here out of Exodus 25, verse 8 to 9. And if you confuse a little bit of where I'm going, don't worry. You'll get there just now. Verse 8, Exodus 25, verse 8 says this. And let them make me, and he's speaking about wanting to dwell with him, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Okay? And then in verse 9, and before we go to verse 9, just hold on yet. It's so easy to actually read past verse 9 and not realize the significance that verse 9, the next verse, brings. And so let's read it. Exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all of its furniture, so you shall make it. So God is saying, like, I want you to make this thing, but I want you to do it exactly the way I tell you. Exactly the way I show you. That's how you're going to do it. And that kind of like is something that I believe this morning for us to see. And I'm going to quickly jump the scripture in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So we've got two scriptures, one Old Testament, one New Testament. Old Testament one speaks about God going like, I'm going to build a tabernacle where I can dwell with my people. And then from that verse onward where we read, God starts highlighting and he says, I'm going to speak to this one. He's speaking about the contributions. I'm going to speak to this one and this one and this one. And they're going to give X, Y, and Z. And then God goes further and says to Moses, Moses, I'm going to speak to this one and this one. And it actually says in Exodus 28 verse 3, it says, you shall speak to all the skillful whom I have filled with a spirit of skill. So God is saying, he's not just giving instruction on how it needs to be done, but he's going to speak to Moses and say, look, this guy and this guy, you need to give them to do this and that thing, because I'm going to give them a spirit, I'm going to give them gifting in order to accomplish what I want them to build. I mean, that's crazy, the amount of detail that God has gone through. In Exodus 31, verse 1 to 6, and I know this is a lot of scriptures, but we need it in order to move forward. The word is our friend. The Lord said to Moses, verse 1 to 6, 31 to 6, the Lord said to Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with the ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and in bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood to work in every craft. And behold, I've appointed him with Oholiab, I don't know if that's the right word, the son of Ahishimach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you. I mean, that's insane. God is saying, I want to build this place where you can worship me, where I can dwell with you in the middle of you. No longer on this mountain, but in the middle of you, I'm going to build something. And I'm going to give this one and that one and this one keys on how to build and craft. And when you start reading through these instructions, you actually see that God takes the detail, not just in, okay, cool, guys, I want you to build me a tent. I'm going to inspire you. Just do it. No. Yeah. It's not like whatever. Someone just coming with a paintbrush. Okay, I think this is what God wants. This yellow. No, no. God is saying, like, every person, I'm going to give him ideas. I'm going to give him skill that they didn't previously have in order to do it. And God boils it down all the way through the carving on the wall, through what color that thing needs to be, through the curtain, through the thickness, through the material, through to the roof, through the fence, through to the step, even through the, what do you call it, the stitching of the curtains. And every single detail and instruction that he gives it for the sake of his people to glorify his name. For every single thing to show to him. Massive job. Even so that when the Israelites would move, God says, I've given certain people, only certain people that can pitch this tent, that can pitch this tabernacle, and only certain people that can pack it down, certain people that can carry it, like, and some things cannot be touched by anything. And you go, whoa, we think we've got admin issues. That's serious admin that I do not want to know. And the punishment of that admin not being followed is death. Whew, New Testament, yay! But actually, it gets worse than the New Testament. I'm going to go back to that scripture that I read us now. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. Or do you not know that your body, meaning mine, each and every one of us, is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Within whom, it's a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. There's no tabernacle anymore in the midst of the people. No, tabernacle. 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 Temple, tabernacle, temple, temple, temple. Each and every one of us is now that very same temple. And this temple has been placed together. It's been formed. It's been crafted in order to do what? To glorify his name. God has given even for us. He's given contributions, just like for the tabernacle. He's given instructions, and he's given a way to build the actual temple. Contributions. The blood of Christ. God has paid with the blood of Christ that each and every one of us here may be a temple that have all the things that we need in order to build it. There's no one that needs to add to us gold or silver or the pelt of this animal or the feather of this bird. No, no, no. It's Jesus has given it. Jesus has made all the contributions that each and every one of us sitting here, each and every one of us right here, have the ability to form and build this temple that's inside. He's given instruction. And this instruction place has got two or three different areas. But I'm going to mention two. First of all, he's giving instruction daily, or three. Let me mention three. There's three areas. First of all, we've got the Word of God. The Word of God is instruction. It is something that we find who God is, what he wants, how he wants to build, how he wants us to live. And we need to follow this instruction. We can't just go, I know God has said he wants like pink stitching, but man, I really think like black stitching is going to look cooler. I mean, it's the black is the new pink. No. What did God say? He said, follow my instruction as I give it. So when we read the word, we can't just go, pink. Nah, God, that's so like AD 500. No, we lived in the 2000s now. Okay, come on. No, we've got to follow it. Instructions, giving. It's your personal relationship with God. The word tells us that each and every one of us sitting here, we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling before God. That means that God, as we spend time with God, as we get to know Him, as we have this relationship with Him, He guides us every single step of the way. It's beautiful for me this morning, the testimony that Casey gave. She only gave a part of the testimony. The testimony is actually much greater than that. November, December, January. Where's Casey? Those are her like most difficult months. And she's never made target over those months. Just broken even. And here God speaks to her about Zambia. She follows the instruction of God, placing the money, not just, okay, cool, God, I'm going to do it, and then not putting her money there, but actually she's working, she's building, she's taking what God has given her, she's going, like, I'm probably going to feel this if God doesn't come through, buys a ticket before God has even, provided. November, December, January. Top consultant. Am I right? And God comes and He shows the man, that is God's leading. We can't make up things like that. If we don't follow His instruction, we're going to find ourselves in places where we realize, man, I don't feel God's favor. Maybe God is not listening to me. Maybe like there's going to be shortage in our lives. And that doesn't mean that if you have financial struggles, that it's always a thing of that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, just hear me what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying kind of thing. We have to follow the instructions of God. As we follow the instructions of God, God makes space. God makes a way. God brings the artists. He speaks to them, gives them skill. God speaks to the businessman and He says, you need to give all your musk ox for this thing. You need to give all your gold for that thing. God creates this temple that is being formed. And the third area of instruction is church and church family. God has said that He's chosen His church to reveal the glory of God in this earth. We can't go, no, God, like that scripture, I mean, come on. No. We've got to hear that and go, okay, God, that is instruction. So if I'm not grafted in with my fellow brothers where God is placing me, and I just choose, I want to go to this church, I want to go to this one. I'm just choosing because I don't want to deal with this issue. I don't want to deal with that thing. No. You're not allowing instruction into your lives. And what it's going to end up in is you're going to be confused. You're going to be in a place of where you're just feeling like, man, I don't know if God is even real. And I want to say this to you. I've got friends, just hear me in this, that's gone through Bible school with me. They're people that are much more gifting than what I have. But because they haven't allowed that part of instruction into their lives, as we're standing right here today, if they were to die today, they're not probably going to go to heaven. Because they have disowned God. To even think that you can come to that place where you can say, God, you don't exist. I mean, that's sheer foolishness. But unless you allow instruction into your life through these areas, you're going to find a place of where your heart becomes cold, it becomes hard, it becomes unformable, it becomes unteachable. And that's going to cause you a great amount of danger. So what does that look like for you? Are you giving instruction? Or are you opening yourself for the instructions of God to be built inside of you? In 1 Corinthians 16, 3, verse 16 to 17, says this: "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone," and just hear this, "if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." We can't hear that or read that and then just go on as per normal. That's like a slap in the face. Going like, what just happened? My eyes are turning, my head is spinning, I'm chilled in my body. I need to do something. I need to look at my life and go, am I allowing God to instruct me? Am I allowing the temple of God to be built in me? Because if I'm not doing that according to His way, not my way, His way, what I am doing is I'm breaking down His temple. And breaking down His temple has got severe consequences. And this is not Old Testament. New Testament. See, with all the instructions, with all the, whether we come into the Word, our personal relationship with God, and even in the church, with leaders and people set around us, there's a place in there we need to actually take those instructions and now make work of it. We can't just hear it and go, cool, I know the instructions. Cool, God wants it pink. Okay, great. But unless you start building the temple, there's still nothing there. And so that's the part where each and every one of us have to make sure and go back, oh, cool, now we need to start working at this temple. And that working at the temple, we need the Bible, we need the Word of God to guide us. Because we're going to think, ah, maybe this way. And then we're going to read Scripture and God is going to say, no, actually that way. And then we can address it. We're going to have our relationship with God. And God is going to say, hey, you want to go into this relationship? And God is actually going like, no, I actually think you need to wait. And we're going to move it. Then we're going to walk and we're going to go, hey, I want to pay money into this thing or pay money into that thing. And the brothers around us in church are going to go, hey, bud, just wait. Let's hear what God is saying. Let's see. And you're going to actually, sure, thank you that you showed me what God was wanting to do because I would have lost my money, for instance. I'm just using examples. In all those areas, as we are walking, instruction is coming. We've got to walk out those instructions. And through the walking out, that temple is being formed. Does that make sense to us? So now I want to get us to this. In Exodus 40, verse 34 to 35. There's then a cloud, and this is, before I read this, this part of the scripture is at the very end of Exodus. It's at the part where people have given everything, the artisans have made everything, and that the temple is standing there now in all of its glory. It's standing there and it's been made, it's been done. And this is the moment where the temple is going to be entered into, or where it's going to be blessed as this is the temple of God. So, and then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This moment of where it's just the glory of God is setting onto the tent of meeting, and Moses is unable to even go into it because of the glory of God that is settled on it. I want that for my life. See, if we think of our bodies as a temple of God, then the same picture for us is true. See, up to that point, Moses was the only one that was able to come into the glory of God. No one else. And even after the tabernacle was built, God was given specific high priests. And it's only the high priest that would actually end up within the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And in that place only, would it only be the high priest that would be exposed to the presence of God. But today, as it is, God's heart towards us has not changed. It's actually intensified. God made a way. He gave Jesus, His Son, to be the perfect sacrifice. When you start reading through Exodus and you start seeing just the same things, how Jesus becomes the Passover lamb, how Jesus becomes the one that the high priest would have to sacrifice this lamb on the for the rituals that they had to do in order to get into the holies of holies. You actually start seeing that Jesus being that exact same picture, following some things even to the certain time. The time that Jesus died, 3 p.m. And 3 p.m. being the same time that the high priests would slay the spotless lamb in order to offer and get into the holies of God. I mean, it's crazy. You can't make this stuff up. See, God gave Jesus so that not just that we would have a high priest. No, God is actually saying, like, for each and every one of us, that we are able to come into His glory. That we are able to stand in His holy of holies. That we are able to stand there and present ourselves to Him. That we are able to see Him. That we are able to walk with Him. That we are able to hear Him. That we are able to understand and know His heart. It's for each and every one of us. But we've got to realize that God is saying, you are a temple of God. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that opens up a way of living that we need to say, God, here I am. I'm gonna take your contribution. I'm gonna follow your instructions, and I'm gonna build the temple in my life. I want us maybe to close our eyes. Maybe if the worship team, if you guys can come up for me. I know we want to kind of look around, but I really want us to, each and every one, just close your eyes. So forget about the person next to you. I believe God's heart for each and every one of us here this morning. It's not just that we would look at the tent of meeting, that we would look or give praise to and glory to God. But actually, He wants us to be tents filled with His glory. And that's physical. It's a cloud by day, and it's a pillar of fire by night. So where you're sitting right there with your eyes closed, I want you to imagine. I want you to dream of what you think it would look like when the glory of God is resting within you. How would you treat your spouse? How would you love your children? How would you love your neighbor or the guy that at work that is very indifferent to you? How would you use your finances? See, as we're walking, as we live outside of the confines of these four walls, God's heart for us is to be temples filled with His glory. That people look at us and that they see this devouring fire and that they recognize the majesty and the holiness and the love of God. See, the temple and the tabernacle with all its extravagance and all its beauty and all the detail is probably something nothing like that ever been built since that day. But the thing that people were hanging on to was not how beautiful the curtains were, how beautiful the stitching was, or the gold cornices, or the golden this, or the wooden that carving. The thing that people came to was the glory of God. The thing that people acknowledged, the thing that people were dying for and living for was the glory of God. It overtook and overshadowed all the beauty that tabernacle was. And so in the same way, even for us sitting here this morning, God is not wanting us to be filled with His glory so that we can have our big ministries or our jet planes or our successful businesses or our beautiful homes or our lovely families or even healthy bodies. He wants to pour out His glory into us. So that when the world looks at us, they see Him. They see Him moving in something that is, without Him, very much dead and stinky. But with Him, there's this beauty. There's this something precious, something unexplainable. Here, God has called us to that place of we saying, come into my presence. He's calling us into His presence. So that we can see the things, the passions that's burning in His heart. And through that, He can pour out His glory into our lives. That those passions become the purposes that we give our lives to. I want to say to you this morning that we need to be willing to do the work. We need to be willing to follow the instruction. But also, we need to be willing to receive the contributions that He has given. To honor those contributions, to take hold of it and say, Jesus, thank You for saving my life. Thank You for speaking to me. And thank You for helping me walk out this thing faithfully. In the book of Revelations, we see where God is coming and where His heart towards us is to be able for us, each and every one of us, to be able to look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. If that is you this morning, saying, God, I want to live for Your glory. I don't just want to live for Your glory, but actually, God, I want to live with Your glory. in my life. That my life, my family, my finances, my work, my relationships, everything that I, where I have to be and breathe, is filled with your glory, your manifest glory. That is that fire, pillar of fire at night, that devouring fire over the mountain, that smoke that led the Israelites, the manna that fell from the sky. I want your glory in my life. That is you this morning. As you've considered what this looks like, I want you to respond to God this morning. Because we need Him to lead us. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. So if you want to respond to that, I want to ask that you stand. And it's not to show me, it's really to respond to God, because God sees each and every heart here. Wait for the music. Just you give yourself to God in this moment. You communicate with Him in your own words. Saying, God, I'm here for you. God, we come to you this morning. As those that have been bought by such a great price. We thank you, God. We thank you for the blood that Jesus spilled on the cross. We thank you for your contribution, God, so that this temple can be built to glorify your name. Not just in this moment, not just in this day, in this year, or in this lifetime, but into eternity, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your contribution. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that you've poured out into our lives. You've given us every spiritual need that we need in order to walk faithfully in your service. Oh God, we thank you. This morning, God, we want to lift our lives, we want to lift our hearts, our beings to you, God. We pray, God, that you will come through your Holy Spirit and that you will glorify your name in our lives. That you'll come and glorify your name through our lives. I pray, God, that you will pour out your glory as you've poured out your glory upon the Ark of the Covenant on that day, God. That you'll pour out your glory in our lives, God, so that wherever we walk, God, that there would be such a fragrance of your majesty, God. That there'd be such a sense of God Almighty, the one true living God. He's not a God, He's the God of all gods. In fact, He's the only living God. God, that wherever we walk, that would be the aroma, the sense that people see and experience and taste, God.